Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 2nd of May, 2018. I'm Sue.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Louise.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. This week we would like to welcome the following new members, Mr. Germano Tiozzi and Mr. Siklat Karocets. We hope you will enjoy receiving your discs. And now Margaret will start us off with the news.
An armed gang threatened a shop worker with a machete before beating him up and stealing cigarettes. Four thugs targeted the highway food and drink store in Daisy Street, Cowsley. One of the offenders, carrying the weapon, demanded money from a member of staff. The gang then set about beating up the terrified worker and punching him several times on the side of his head, leaving him with bruising. West Midlands Police said the raiders then stole a haul of cigarettes and took off on foot from the shop. Detectives have launched an investigation into the incident, which took place on Sunday at around 6:50 p.m. While a ward councillor has called for the force to step up patrols, Cowsley East ward councillor Susan Ridney said, "I'm quite shocked at that. It is terrible. It's not one you would expect from this. It is a quiet street. The shop has been there quite a number of years. It's just a little business that chugs along. Let's hope the police pick up the patrols. I would really like to see more police patrols, and I think most residents would, because this is one of the things they complain about." However, Councillor Ridney said that Sunday's raid was more than likely an opportunist theft. She added, "I think they thought Sunday afternoon would be quiet and they were after something specific." A police spokesperson said, "Police are investigating an armed raid that took place at Highway Food and Drink Store in Daisy Street, Cowsley, on Sunday, April the 22nd. Four men entered the store. One of them threatened a member of staff with a machete while they demanded money from a member of staff."
A safer driver scheme came to the roads of a Black Country borough for the first time in its two-year history. Officers from the West Midlands Police Road Harm Reduction Unit rolled out the closed pass scheme in Long Lane, Halsewin. Undercover officers used a Boardman hybrid road bike equipped with full HD cameras and walkie-talkies to pick up drivers coming too close to their bikes. But this was more than just a way of dishing out licence points and a fine, said Police Chief, who, with the help of the fire service, educated those caught on the spot instead. A special mat was set up to deliver a lesson to motorists about the safe distance recommended to keep from harming cyclists, which, according to PC Steve Hudson, is the distance of a HGV door's width. West Midlands Police PC Steve Hudson said, "It is not about going after drivers and it is not about prosecuting or persecuting. It is about education and driver awareness and cycling awareness. Before we started this scheme, we spent over 2 years with cycling groups looking at their behaviour on the road and looking at things that were causing them problems. It is about changing driver behaviour. We want to send that person away thinking, I am actually now better armed and equipped to deal with a vulnerable road user, and I can do that by knowing how to deal with them when approaching a hazard." Officers from Essex Police were visiting to watch the scheme in action in efforts to see if it was something they could implement. Also on board were club cyclists, who hailed the scheme as extremely important and said that a small minority of motorists are putting lives at risk. David Viner, chairman of the cycling section at Halsewin Cycling Club, said, "I came to support the scheme. I think the Close Pass initiative is fantastic, and safety-wise, it is very important for motorists to give a good wide pass of 1.5 metres. Most motorists overtake cyclists reasonably well, but a lot of people just need to be reminded that cyclists do need room on the road. A small minority of motorists do not have any regard for personal safety, and they are possibly people who are not emotionally developed enough to have a driving licence. Those people really do need to consider what they are doing because they are putting lives at risk. I think today is extremely important." During the operation, drivers who were pulled were given the option of a fine and 3 points on their licence, or to undergo the 15-minute education lesson on road safety. Fire crews from Woodgate Valley in Birmingham helped educate road users on the importance of sharing the safe road with cyclists. Blue Watch Commander Paul Stevens said, "We go out to incidents where cyclists are trapped underneath vehicles, but by attending events like this with the police, it helps raise that awareness. The fire service are well received." One of those pulled over, a male driver, said, "The scheme is a good idea. It is needed everywhere."
Amble Code historians are calling for an historic former hospital building to be saved from further decay. Members of Amble Code History Society say the lodge, the only surviving remnant of the original Corbett Hospital, is falling into rack and ruin. History buffs are desperate to save the derelict, locally listed building, which stands prominently overlooking the A491 next to the old listed gates marking what was the entrance to Corbett Hospital, which was built after Salt King John Corbett bought the land and bequeathed it to the people of Stourbridge for a hospital. The lodge was the gateway to the hospital, which was built before the NHS came into being in 1948. Admission, therefore, was by a ticket only, and it was at the lodge that a porter would check the necessary paperwork and tickets, which were obtained by subscription, paid for by an employer or workers' association. The building also acted as a form of infection control. Infectious patients were not permitted to cross beyond the lodge to avoid contact with surgical patients in the hospital. Patients with infections were instead sent to the workhouse infirmary at Wordsley. As times changed, the building was later given over for office use. Helen Cook of Amblecote History Society, who was pictured with fellow historian buff Lance Cartwright and Amblecote councillor Paul Bradbury, said, "This building has been disgracefully left to rot for approximately the last 20 years. It is such an eyesore, standing in a condition of deterioration, deteriorating further by weather and vandals with evidence of drug use. It's not what John Corbett would have envisaged." Many people waiting in long queues of traffic approaching Stourbridge would also witness this eyesore of windows boarded up, tiles off the roof, overgrown vegetation. It's not a nice advert for our area and the approach to our town. He said, "John Corbett's decaying coat of arms can still just about be seen above the door in front of the building, which is owned by the NHS. The History Society wants to see the building restored and returned to good use, or ultimately sold as a potential residential property." Amblecote councillor Paul Bradley is backing the History Society's campaign to save the building and said, "It has significant local history values and it would be such a shame to lose this link to John Corbett." A spokesman for NHS Property Services said, "We are working with the local NHS and council partners to explore options for the use of the building. In the meantime, we are putting further measures in place to protect and secure it."
Dozens of horses are being seized in Dudley and Sandwell by a horse rescue firm and has been paid £140,000 a year. Equine Emergency Services in Bridge North seized 45 horses in Dudley and 30 in Sandwell last year. It is contracted by the councils in a bid to clear roads and open spaces of tethered and stray horses. The firm then charges £400 for the owners to reclaim the animals. It also rehomes the horses. The firm's website features appeals from the owners of 38 horses seized across the two boroughs over the past year to come forward. They include 8 caught in one day off the Birmingham New Road in Dudley and 5 from Hall Lane in Tipton. 5 were also picked up from the Fens Pool Nature Reserve in Briley Hill. The horses range in age and types with black cobs, piebalds and skewbalds. The work of the company was raised by the Office of the West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner this week. The firm's work has seen the number of stray horses reduced in Dudley, 145 horses were seized in a year. Briley Hill councillor John Martin said 5 years ago up to 70 horses were tethered on the 30-acre Fenspool Nature Reserve at a time. He said Dudley Council was compelled to act because of the destruction of the nature reserve and cruelty to the animals, some of them left to starve on our reserves.
People armed with batons attacked a car before gunshots were fired after a woman was attacked with a metal bar in what was a night of chaos in the Black Country. The disorder, which has left 4 people in police custody, took place at Lodge Crescent, Netherton. Police originally responded to reports of armed with batons attacking the occupants of a car in Lodge Crescent. This was followed by further reports of gunshots and sightings of a firearm. Officers believe the attack was in relation to an earlier incident where a 36-year-old woman had been assaulted with a metal bar, resulting in a minor head injury. A spokeswoman for West Midlands Police said, "A 39-year-old woman and a 15-year-old girl have been arrested on suspicion of assault and remain in custody." Police patrols were increased in the area overnight, and this morning 2 men, aged 30 and 33, have been arrested on suspicion of possession of a firearm. The 33-year-old has sustained a broken ankle and has been taken to hospital for treatment. Inquiries are ongoing, and anyone with information should call police on 101 or Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111.
Market traders fear the closure of Briley Hill High Street's last bank will finish the town off. The difficult decision to close Lloyds Bank was made due to customers using the branch less often, with figures released by the bank showing that counters were 24% quieter than a year ago, as a majority of customers were using alternative ways to bank. But for stallholders at Briley Hill Market, the bank provides a lifeline for their businesses, and they have launched a petition calling for the banking giant to halt the closure, earmarked for July the 18th. Market supervisor Stephen Bridgewater said, "There'll be no banks in the town whatsoever. HSBC shut last year and Barclays went in March, so Lloyds is the last one. Small businesses rely on the bank for change and things like that. I don't understand why it's closing. It's always busy." Tracy Lowe, who runs a car store, added, "We need a bank in the high street. I use it every trading day. A lot of us pay our rents into it there. And once it has gone, there'll be nowhere for us to get change or for customers to get money. They say there's the post office, but we haven't got time to stand in that queue when we're working," she continued. "The town centre is pathetic. The council need to improve the high street. A lot of shops have closed since Barclays went in March and our trade has dropped by half." Butcher Bruce Hodgkiss said he thought the bank closing would finish the town off, adding, "My customers are totally disgusted. This town needs regenerating, but all the council are bothered about is Merry Hill. Look at the town. It's a mess, and they are just sitting pretty on their big fat wages, getting nothing done about it." Colin Downs, aged 82, who runs a clothing store, said he believed the older generation would suffer as a result of the closure. He said, "People of my age don't use online banking and they don't want or know how to use cash machines. They pop in a bank to get money out." Dudley South MP Mike Wood said he thought closing the Briley Hill branch was a bad decision. "And it's bad for Lloyds Bank customers in Briley Hill, but I also think it's a mistake for the bank themselves and I've asked for an urgent meeting to discuss it with them." Mr. Wood said he would be looking at what more could be done to make sure that the full range of consumer and business banking services were available from Briley Hill Post Office so that people can still get the services they need. Despite the impending bank closure, Briley Hill and Merry Hill remain the borough's strategic centre and therefore a priority for Dudley Council, according to Alan Lunt, strategic director for Place. He said the extension of the Midland Metro to Briley Hill, which is expected by 2023, and the recently created DY5 Enterprise Zone, would bring many opportunities to the town by boosting regeneration, improving transport links, and attracting thousands of new jobs. He added, In the meantime, we've introduced 2 hours free parking to all council-run car parks to encourage shoppers to our key centres, and are continuing to work with partners and businesses to look at ways of boosting footfall in the town. We will also be reviewing the Briley Hill Area Action Plan, which provides a framework for future regeneration.
Bus lane cameras in Wolverhampton raked in £1.9 million last year, according to new figures. There are 12 cameras across the city that capture vehicles illegally using the routes. In 2015-16, Wolverhampton Council netted £1.3 million. In 2016-17, £1.9 million. And chiefs have confirmed they earned £1.9 million in 2017-18. Conservative councillor Uday Singh has accused the ruling Labour group of using bus fines as a cash cow. But cabinet member Mikanda Jaspal said people needed to obey the rules of the road to avoid falling foul of the cameras. Councillor Singh said, "We've raised this issue time and time again. If the cameras were an effective deterrent, we would see a drop in the number of fines being dished out to people. But that isn't happening. And if people are coming to Wolverhampton for the first time and aren't familiar with the road layout, they could get caught out inadvertently. Then for people to get fined before they even do anything in the city will put them off from coming back here. So I think the cameras can act as a deterrent for people visiting the city. I would urge the Labour controlling council to revisit its approach to ensure a fairer system for people who are accidentally caught out." The first of the cameras was introduced in June 2015. There are now 12 in the city, including sites in Piper's Row, Victoria Square and Lichfield Street. Councillor Jaspal said, "It is beyond belief that people are still getting caught out in bus lanes. They're quite clearly marked and clearly advertised. People need to abide by the rules of the road." A council spokesman said, "Over the 2017-2018 financial period, the council has received £1.9 million from bus lane enforcement penalty charges notice. The costs associated with operating and managing this process is met from an income, and any surplus can be reinvested into highway improvement projects that will benefit road users, residents and visitors."
A brother and sister with severe allergies claim they were advised to sit in the loos during a long-haul flight when a curry with cashew nuts was served. Shannon and Sundeep Sahota from Wolverhampton say they alerted staff that they were severely allergic to nuts on 3 occasions before the trip with their parents. But they were horrified when they picked up the menus on the Emirates flight to find the curry dish listed, and quickly raised the matter with cabin crew. The pair say they told the crew they could potentially die from the airborne nut particles, and claim they were told the only option was to sit in the toilets for the 7-hour flight. Shannon, 24, and Sundeep, 34, who carry EpiPens for their allergies, have spent £5,000 to take their parents to Dubai and Singapore as a surprise present for the couple's 60th birthdays. Shannon, an analyst, said, "We felt so degraded and embarrassed. It was horrible, and it was meant to be a happy occasion, but the start of our holiday was ruined. We had contacted Emirates beforehand to make sure they were aware of our allergies, and when we arrived at the airport and checked our bags in, we let them know, and they said it was all fine and that it was in the system. When we spoke to the people who greet you at the plane, they said it was fine and showed us to our seats. We had bought our own food and snacks with us, as we just didn't want to take the risk, as our allergies are so severe. When we realised what they were serving, we were just completely panicked and started frantically buzzing for the staff to come over, as it was too late to get off." She said she told an air stewardess that her nut allergy could be potentially vital, and added, she asked if we had any medication for it, and we always carry EpiPens, but they're only for emergencies and you need to go to hospital straight after. She suggested that we sit at the back of the plane, but we explained that the nut particles would already be in the air. She said the only other option was for us to go and sit in the plane toilets with cushions and blankets for the rest of the 7 hours. Shannon and Sandeep declined to spend the 7 hour flight in the loos and instead spent the rest of the flight with blankets over their heads to try and block out any nut particles. They had been travelling to Dubai on Sunday, April the 8th, from Birmingham International Airport, when the chicken biryani was served with fried cashew nuts. Shannon added, we want to raise awareness for other people suffering from nut allergies, because it's not just about us, and it can be a really difficult thing to live with. An Emirates spokesperson said, we are sorry to hear about Miss Sahota's complaint. Emirates tries to cater to all passengers' specific needs by offering a number of special meals that cover as many medical, dietary, and religious requirements as possible. However, Emirates cannot guarantee completely nut-free flights. We looked into Ms. Sahota's booking and our records do not reflect any mention of a nut allergy. All passengers who alert us of a nut allergy prior to travel are informed of our policy and it is also outlined on our website. When alerted during the flight, our crew tried their best to offer Ms. Sahota and her brother alternative locations in an open space in the back of the aircraft cabin to minimise their proximity to other passengers who may be consuming meals with nuts. We apologise for any inconvenience caused and our customer care team will be in touch with Miss Sahota directly.
A Stourbridge woman has more than doubled her fundraising target after taking on the London Marathon. Becky Webster of Webster's Florists in Willesden took part in Sunday's marathon, the hottest on record at 24 degrees centigrade, and completed the 26.2-mile course in 5 hours 28 minutes. Despite the soaring temperatures, Becky was determined to cross the finish line of the iconic road race, and her efforts have raised more than £400 for Stourbridge's Mary Stevens Hospice, more than double the amount she expected to coin in. She said of her endeavour, nothing can prepare you for how hard the actual race is on the day, and I'm so, so proud to have completed it. With the weather as well, it ended up becoming very much a team effort, and I'd just like to say a huge thank you to everyone who helped me on the way round, both alongside me in the race and cheering from the sidelines. To have raised twice what I hoped to for the hospice on top of that really is humbling, and I just hope the money can help make a difference to a family when they need it most. Charlotte Schofield, head of fundraising and lottery of the hospice, said, what Becky has achieved simply can't be overestimated, and this is something she should be proud of for the rest of her life. It's a remarkable event which brings tens of thousands of people together in support of some truly inspirational causes, and we really are privileged to have been represented so proudly by Becky. She's absolutely smashed it, and the money she's raised will make such a difference to families relying on our care here at the hospice.
A gymnastics centre and gym will be built at a sports college under new plans. Proposals have been submitted to Dudley Council for the new purpose-built centre and fitness suite at Ellowes Hall in Lower Gornal. The college has agreed £100,000 of funding in principle from Sport England for the project, which would see a gymnastics centre built that could host major events. It would be the new home for Dudley Gymnastics Club, which has 220 members, with a community able to use the new fitness room. Gornal Ward Councillor Anne Millward, who used to attend the school, described the project as a fabulous scheme. She told the Express and Star, I've been supporting the school on this and visited the gym, which has got loads of members from all over the area. This would be absolutely brilliant for the school, the gym club and the community. The school has got the space for this and it's a wonderful setting. I'm really pleased they've gone for it and it looks like it's going to be wonderful. A design statement submitted as part of the planning package says, The project is to build a dedicated gymnastics centre with a fitness suite and cafe on the Ellowes Hall Sports College school grounds. Dudley Gymnastics Club is already well established here with 220 members and 515 on the now closed waiting list. A dedicated facility, fully equipped, would enable the club to increase participation through improved time and efficiency and increase access, including during the day, for preschool and school groups and later in the evening for adult groups. It would provide a greater range of equipment and a greater diverse of activities, allowing club to effectively cater for those more experienced gymnastics looking for new challenges to progress on their performance pathway. Our proposed design enables the venue to host competitions. The potential Sport England funding has been agreed in principle, pending the school's ability to find a construction company willing to support the work.
Bricks were thrown at firefighters and cars were reportedly looted, while emergency services dealt with flooding in Wednesbury on Friday, the 27th of April. Along with police and paramedics, firefighters from across the Black Country spent hours checking submerged cars, making the area safe and pumping millions of litres of water from the scene in Lee Brook Road. Around 60 firefighters, including specialist water rescue teams, rushed to the scene near Wednesbury Parkway tram station after contractors damaged a 20-inch water main at around 10 a.m. However, it has since emerged that youth threw bricks at firefighters. At least 17 cars, mainly belonging to residents and commuters using the Midland Metro, were submerged in the 10 million litres of water that escaped from the pipe, and many were still sodden on Friday morning, 27th of April. The rear window of at least one of the cars was smashed yesterday. However, it is not known whether that damage was caused maliciously or not. Some of the written-off vehicles were recovered once the water level had dropped yesterday, while others were being towed from the scene the following morning. Pictures taken by a West Midlands police drone show Lee Brook Road North appearing more like a river than a road, with cars, barriers and traffic cones floating in flood waters as deep as 9 feet, 3 metres, in places. The damaged main has now been fixed after the engineers worked through the night, but the nearby road surface remains severely damaged, with broken bits of concrete lying in piles next to huge cracks in the road. However, despite barriers blocking off the damaged road, Lee Brook Road, the A41 Black Country New Road and the tram station car park are all back open after being closed during the flooding. Lee Brook Church, which is the closest building to where the pipe burst, had been closed indefinitely, with forthcoming services set to be held elsewhere. Both West Midlands Fire Service and West Midlands Police have been contacted by the Express and Star for comment.
A trio of inept robbers were foiled by brave customers when they tried to get away with money and cigarettes after taking a cocktail of drink and drugs. Stuart Dublin and Carl Sina were masked and armed with an iron bar when they burst into a one-stop shop in Stourbridge, while their getaway driver, Delroy Nettleford, waited outside in a stolen Volvo. The pair told terrified staff in the store to open the till and they grabbed £662 in cash and £75 worth of cigarettes as customers, that included a 10-year-old schoolboy, looked on in horror. But their plans came unstuck when Pardeep Singh pulled up outside the Worcester Street store. When he entered, he saw Dublin and Sinner and told them, "You're not going anywhere." He was upset about the robbery taking place, but particularly about the fact that it was all happening in front of a young boy, said Rupert Jones, prosecuting. In the following seconds, Sinner had his nose broken and lost several teeth, while Dublin was left with a permanently damaged ear from a punch to the head. Two other customers, Julian Hodges and William Croft, then helped detain the two robbers, Mr. Jones told Wolverhampton Crown Court, while Nettleford drove away from the scene only to be arrested a short time later. Miss Jones said that these three charmers had regularly appeared before courts in the past, with Sinnott clocking up 177 previous convictions on his criminal record, Dublin 50 crimes and Nettleford 49 offences. He said that after they were arrested, neither Sinnott or Dublin made any complaint about the injuries they had sustained in the store. The defendants had all been involved in the theft of £27 worth of food from Sainsbury's in Woolaston days earlier, while Sinner, who was on bail, had tried to take drugs with him on a prison visit. Dublin, 36, of Blowers Green Road, Nettleford, 53, of Starbridge Road, both Dudley and 51-year-old Sinner of Starbridge Road, Briley Hill, all admitted robbery and theft. Sinner further pleaded guilty to taking drugs into Featherstone Prison near Wolverhampton and also breaching a suspended prison sentence. Judge James Burridge, QC, jailed Sinner for a total of 4 years. Dublin was given 2 years and 4 months, while Nettleford was locked up for 2 years and 3 months. The judge said the three have-a-go heroes would all be given a £250 reward for their public-spirited behaviour in thwarting what was a serious offence. Well done, all of them. And now, with that final news item, we're going to make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Sue.
Bye-bye from Margaret.
And goodbye from Louise.